He stood there with his mind reeling, trying to take it all in. The view was celestial. Words failed him as he tried to comprehend the splendor. What he beheld was beyond imagination. In the distance, there was a door. This was a massive structure, miles high. Not wooden, monolithic, as though carved out of solid rock. Light streamed from its entrance. Giant rays stretching far out into the vastness beyond it. It seemed to contain the sun, but as he looked at it, he realized it was brighter than anything he had ever seen. As he stood there, a voice called to him, "Come up higher, and I will show you what must take place after this." He stepped forward, and instantly he was in a different dimension. The sky was on fire above him, lit with the colors of the rainbow, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. He stood on the edge of a huge body of water, shielded his eyes to look for the edge, and it was nowhere to be seen. It glistened like fine-cut crystal, the light reflecting off of its surface. In the distance, he saw a throne. Lightning flashed from around it. Peals of thunder rolled across the vastness. He was immediately aware that there was a presence sitting on it. The appearance of him who sat there was like jasper, like carnelian, red and gold like flames of fire. And above that throne stretched a rainbow of emerald green. There were seven torches burning around that throne. Beyond it were 24 smaller thrones in a circle. On each of those thrones sat an elder, clothed in white, with crown upon their heads. In between the throne and the elders, there were four living creatures. They flew constantly, always forward, never backwards. They had eyes all around them, so no matter in which direction they flew, they were always flying forward. The first creature was like a lion. The second living creature like an ox. The third living creature had the face of a man. And the fourth living creature flew and looked like an eagle. Each of them with six wings, full of eyes all around and under them. And day and night, as they flew, they shouted, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." When those creatures cried out, the 24 elders would fall on their faces before the throne and cast their crowns before it. And they would proclaim from prostrate position, "Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." John stood there beholding what was taking place, and suddenly the voice of an angel, like the sound of a trumpet, ripped the heavens, and it shouted, "Who is worthy? Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And immediately, a search began All of heaven waited in silence. John's heart raced. Heaven was searched, but no one was found. The earth was searched, but no one stepped forward. Even under the earth, it was searched. But no one was found worthy to open the scroll. Tears filled his eyes. He bowed his head and he began to weep. His sobs became louder and louder. He shook with the weeping. Was there no one worthy to open the scroll? Then a voice from one of the smaller thrones, one of the elders, spoke, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, and so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." John opened his eyes and raised his head, and in the midst of them stood the Lamb. Stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Our text is found in Revelation chapter 5. "Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll, written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.' Then I looked, and I heard round the throne the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels numbering in myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we stand amazed in your presence this morning. Thank you for coming down and dwelling in our midst. We thank you for your word, infallible and inerrant. We stand in awe of your mercy that forgives us, that saves us, that sanctifies us. Lord, I ask you today to anoint me by your Holy Spirit. Strengthen me, Father. Take a coal from off your altar and touch my lips. Purify me and cleanse me, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. Because you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. John had been weeping for some time. Heaven had been hushed while the search was underway. No angel had been worthy. No archangel was worthy. Earth too had been searched. Not a single living person was qualified. No king, no queen, no president, no chancellor, no pope, no venerated saint, no billionaire, no benefactor, not even a Nobel Prize winner. No preacher, no teacher, no evangelist, no missionary. No one was worthy. John says, under the earth was searched. That means no patriarch. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were not worthy. No leader or ruler, Moses or Joshua or David or Solomon. No apostle, not Peter, not Paul, none of them. No religious leader, not Buddha, not Confucius, not Mohammed. No one living or dead in heaven or earth was worthy to open the scroll. John is beside himself. The one holds the scroll in his right hand, sealed with seven seals. He's lifted it for the taking, and no one is worthy. And then the elder speaks, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, and he is worthy to open the scroll." When John looks up, he scans that congregation gathered. He's looking for a lion, and what he sees is a lamb standing there between the elders and the throne. Was our wounded God. I'll say it again. Standing between the elders and the throne was our wounded God. That's what John saw. This is what verse 6 says. "And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." John was told to behold a lion, and what he beheld was a lamb. He was looking for a conqueror, and what he saw was a man that had paid the ultimate sacrifice. It's in stark contrast to his description of whom he beheld in chapter 1. "And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining at full strength." That's the description in chapter 1. But here in chapter 5, a lamb slain, standing alive and well. The Son of God, mortally wounded, standing in the midst of the host of heaven, and he reaches out and he takes the scroll because he alone is worthy. What did John see? What is he actually describing in this great contrast between the Son of Man in chapter 1 and the Son of God in chapter 5? Revelation is a marvelous book. John, in literary eloquence, describes what he sees from a perspective that alone is his because he had been with Jesus. What John describes before the throne is Christ as we've never seen him before. It's a stunning portrayal. John described him physically in chapter 1. In chapter 5, John describes his personality and his person as the Son of God. Christ steps into the throne room, this huge expanse. In all of his deity, he is accepted as the Son of God. But he bears upon his body the badges of his suffering. And he bears upon his personality the suffering that he took for our sake. John says, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, a portrait of our wounded God. Standing before the Father, found worthy only because of what he had suffered, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. It's impossible for John to describe him as who he is without describing the suffering. A lamb slain. The marks of his wounding are on his body. The bruising, the stripes, the chastisement, and the sorrow. I beheld a lamb as though it had been slain. He's describing the pain of God. It is the key behind our redemption. Isaiah had prophesied, and what Isaiah prophesied now stood before the throne. Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb, he was led to the slaughter. That word stricken in the Hebrew is broken, emotionally destroyed upon the altar of sacrifice. He submitted himself on the cross in absolute cooperation with the will of the Father. And he suffered in our place. He bore the physical signs of his suffering, but he also bore the emotional destruction of what he suffered. It took place in a moment of absolute separation from the one he loved the most, who loved him the most. And it manifested himself as the sky turned black and God turned away and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was no pain physically. That was pain emotionally and spiritually within him as he felt himself ripped from the arms of God. You say, yes, but that was the Son of Man in his humanity that felt separation from the Father. No. What I'm telling you this morning is it was his deity that suddenly went through such excruciating pain, it was almost more than he could stand. He took the sins of the entire world on his shoulders. And he suffered personally for us as God. Why is it so easy for us to grasp when it says, as he threw the tables in the courtyard in front of the temple, that the zeal of his house had eaten him up? We understand his anger. It's easy for us to understand that that's God shining through him. But when he rides over the crest of Mount Olivet, and he stops and he looks out over Jerusalem and his heart breaks and he begins to weep. It's not because they're going to reject who he is. It's because they're going to reject the fact that he's God, and it breaks his heart. That's why he groaned within himself as he stood in front of the tomb of Lazarus. Mary and Martha and others weeping, and what rose within him was anger at the destruction that death presented to those that he loved. And then he cried out, "Lazarus, come forth." He longed to defeat death. He longed to destroy it. He couldn't wait to get to the cross because he knew he could defeat it. We need to grasp how much he loves us, how he longs to spend time with us. We cannot imagine how difficult it is for him to be separated from us. This is what it says in Hosea chapter 11. "How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Adamah? How can I make you like Zebulun? My heart is changed within me, and all my compassion overflows." That describes divine heartache, suffering in the heart of God, because he's rejected. When God walked through the garden and Adam was nowhere to be found and he cried out, "Where art thou?" It wasn't in anger. It was in anguish, because he knew that for thousands of years he would never again walk beside the one he had created and fellowship with him in the cool of the day. Scripture says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit." That doesn't mean don't make him angry. That word "grieve" in the Greek is sorrow. Don't make the third person of the Trinity sorrowful. Jesus Christ came to earth as God in the flesh. He was God's man. And as John describes him, standing before the throne, between the elders and in the midst of the living creatures, a lamb with 7 eyes and 7 horns, he's man's God. Don't let the description bother you. I know there's lots of people that have written books trying to describe everything about it. John's not expecting you to look and see a lamb. And that word in the Greek is not lamb the way we think of a lamb bouncing around. That's the lamb that you carry in your arms. Gentle, to be loved, to be cherished, with 7 eyes and 7 horns. You can't imagine what that looks like. That would be grotesque to look at. What John is describing is not his physical appearance. He's describing who he is emotionally, who he is within his mind, this who is 7 horns and 7 eyes. Eyes that look everywhere, that know everything, omniscient, omnipresent. John's describing his very personality. Those 7 horns, his wisdom, his authority, his counsel, his might, his knowledge, his understanding, and his perfection. That's who he is. Not what he looks like, who he is. Omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. All powerful. He strides towards the throne as the lamb slain and takes the scroll from his father, because he is worthy, because he suffered. Man's God standing before the throne, instantly assuming the position of high priest, the minister in the sanctuary, the mediator of the new covenant, touched with the feelings of our infirmities, not just physical pain, that's emotional and spiritual. He feels our pain and he feels our sorrow. Jesus Christ, wounded, the full revelation of who God is, come to earth. And standing there, wounded as the Lamb slain, the full revelation of who man as God is in heaven itself. Can you grasp this? This concept of what took place? We see this visually, but it was taking place emotionally and spiritually simultaneously. John records that at the moment that Christ grasped the scrolls, the 24 elders and the four living creatures fall on their faces. These four living creatures fly all the time. They bow down to the Lamb slain. And they begin to sing. It's a new song. It had never been sung before in heaven. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed the people of God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. And then thousands upon thousands. The word used, we call it myriads of myriads. It was more than could be numbered of the angels alone. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. All of heaven rocked. It shook with the shout. We'll know him when we see him, Kathy. We'll recognize him. The nail prints, his side, still bearing the imprints of the thorns. He won't try to hide it. It's what identifies him from everyone else. A lamb slain, but standing, alive and well. Badges of honor. We try to hide our scars. He bore them for us, but not just physically. Emotionally. He is who he is because he suffered. He is where he is because he suffered. He stands where he stands because he was wounded and he's worthy. We sang today, we're going to sing again. When we recognize he's worthy, when we worship him as worthy, he comes down. He joins us. He's no longer in a manger. He no longer hangs on that cross. Yesterday we were all talking as we were doing cleanup. I loved what you said, Mike. Dylan, the other day he was downtown. He said, I can't stand it when I see the crucifix and this droopy Jesus is hanging on it. It's not where he is! And he's not in the tomb. He's not lying on a slab lifeless. He's standing in the presence of God Almighty, bearing the badges that he bore, and that he's worthy to open the scroll. He is worthy. Worthy of our adoration, because he's the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. Verse 13, and I heard every creature in heaven and earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Stretched across that throne room, beside the crystal sea, all the redeemed and all the host of heaven, billions upon billions, lifted their voices. And then John adds, every creature in heaven and earth, every bird, every animal, every whale, every fish in the sea, all of creation worshiped because he was worthy. And then he adds, and I love this, and the four living creatures said, Amen. God's man here on earth. Man's God standing in heaven. He knows just how we feel. He knows exactly what we suffer because he has been through it in ways we cannot imagine. And he's moved by our prayers. He's touched by our infirmities. And he longs to have our worship. Let's stand.